You're listening to the Just One Outdoors Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the Just One Outdoors Podcast. Today we have a kind of special, different episode. We're doing a joint, like part one, part two episode with the Antler and Feather Co. podcast. We have Kenneth on as well. We all just shot tack, and I'm really looking forward to just breaking down kind of what happened, because it started off really good, got bad, got better, got worse. It was just
way worse.
It was just kind of all over the place. I mean, but heck, I wouldn't have had it any other way. Being with you guys, getting to meet you guys actually in person there was incredible. So guys, welcome to the podcast, and let's break down tack.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for, doing this joint episode together. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and you know, honestly, it makes it easy on two podcasters. We can just get our episodes done all in one shot, you know? How you doing over there, Ken?
I'm in Wi-Fi struggle city downtown Louisiana, North Carolina.
You don't even know where the hell he lives. The Wi-Fi is that bad.
It is that bad. Location does not work.
Oh man! But well, yeah. Austin, you're the part one host.
Part one host. Yeah, it feels weird being a part one host. So I think let's just start off. What were your expectations for going into tack? I know Vince, you've been to one. Ken, have you been to one before?
Nah, that was my first ever 3D event. Period.
So what were your first
3D event? Period.
Yeah.
Oh wow! You started off big.
Yeah.
That just makes your wife and her ability to shoot so much more impressive.
Yeah.
Pressure. Oh, she is gosh. Pressure, bro. She don't play out there.
I think we need to take a second before we get into how much fun we had, and just say, and this is, I don't mean this as like a like male chauvinist, like of course the girls can get through it, but just how badass they were.
Yeah.
Both of them they never got behind. They never complained. In fact, they were ahead of us a lot of times. And Ken, your wife shot awesome. She shot better than I did.
She shot better than all of us.
All of us. Exactly.
So shout out to the girls on that one, because that was awesome to see. I mean, yeah, like I said, great. I don't want to seem like, wow, it's amazing that they can do something, you know, but it's just kind of, you look at archery and stuff like that, and it's a lot of dudes. It's a lot of dudes who want to wear all their camo and bring all their gear and just, you know, kind of archery version of bro out. And they were kicking butt. So shout out to the girls on that.
Ken, also talk about your wife a little bit before we get into this, about how long she's been shooting.
Man, she's been shooting early December, middle December, I want to say.
That's nuts.
And I've been shooting here for like 2 years.
Hey, she's hitting 111 yard elks. Wasn't it 111? That last shot?
106 or 7, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I knew it was somewhere around there.
She hit it twice, two in a row.
Twice.
And they were both, weren't they both kill shots too?
Yeah. Yeah, they were, both of her shots were better than mine.
Yeah, that one was in the juggler.
Yeah, it would have dropped him. Mine was in the guts, so we would have had a long night ahead of us if that was real world. Hers would have dropped him.
Mine was in a blackjack tree about 20 yards behind.
Mine was about 30 yards too short.
What? Did you?
You were shooting my bow, though. That was good. I mean, for that switch up, that was good.
You know what's funny is I watched the video of me shooting at that elk, and right before I draw back, you're like, yeah, use the bottom pin. I get up there, I draw back. I draw back, and I use the top pin.
Yo.
I was wondering how you fell so short from it, because you hit literally 30, 40 yards in front of it.
It was just
I didn't see nothing. I was seeing stars at that point. I was dehydrated. I was wore out. Oh, there it goes.
Watching the videos back, I can't wait for you guys to see the video. I've started putting it together, but like you can see how we started to how we ended, And you could just see we were all just like done with it. Like it was just like, whew, we made it.
Those few steep mountains, hey, we were already wore out from the day before. And just to see her continue to go up those steep mountains, like those rocks, I mean, dude, I was like, I'm sitting here looking because I know I'm war slap out. I was feeling, for her, but hey, she was a trooper.
Yeah,
May was too.
Yeah,
I mean that was a good time.
Heck,
I'm kind of surprised at some of that terrain. Austin, you and I kind of talked about that when we went on the prime course about for an event like a legitimate event that's not just a bunch of dudes throwing it together. Some of that terrain and some of the stuff, the rock, like the literal cliffs and stuff we had to go around. Like, yeah. I am shocked that an event would do that because of there were some times where you know, if you're tired or you just take one wrong step, like you're 15 foot literally landing on that jagged shale rock or whatever it was.
I was blown away, especially during the, I think even more at the prime course with some of those. Just there were some crazy things that we had to go around. There were two shots that I thought I was going to fall backwards and just fall down like off this little cliff, dude. Like that panther where Ken, you climbed up to. Oh my gosh, I was trying to find a way up that was safer than that way, because that one was just like a rock.
Oh cliff. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I was terrified. I was sitting over there shaking because I looked back and it's like this, man. There was no saving it if you was to fall.
No, I did not. If we go like going back to expectations, that's not at all what I expected. I expected it to be hard, but I didn't expect it to be that hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where you guys were, but that was me. I was like, heck, I know I'm doing the Sitka course thanks to Vince here. but I knew it was going to be hard, but you know, like I think in our podcast, Ken, we talked about like, you heard it was 7 miles or something. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
this is getting intense. And then the terrain was unbelievable.
Yeah. It,
that was pretty rugged, bro.
Yeah. Like I said, I shot TAC last year, and my experience with Total Archer Challenge is in Michigan. So Michigan is, it's not exactly like extremely rugged terrain. It's a lot of, you're on a ski resort. So it's a lot of up and down, like ours was, but it's just like the side of a ski resort. It's just, it's woods, but it's nothing crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went into Tennessee knowing, you know, Tennessee has hills and, you know, my buddy Tom kind of talked about what Tennessee looks like, but I'm like, again, it's an event, you know, how crazy can it really get for safety reasons? And so they don't get sued and things like that.
Yeah,
man, that Sitka course. It was, like I said, I wouldn't want it any other way. Because it's cool to look back on the crazy terrain that we went over and all that. But at the same time, I wasn't expecting it to be quite that rugged. And the prime course too, like you were saying, Sitka's known, like that's the point of it. It's called Sitka. They put it there because you're going to test their gear out. Their gear can handle anything. And then prime course, I didn't know what the thing was with prime. I thought maybe it was just one of those fun mid range. It'll have some hard shots. That one was almost worse than Sitka.
I was going to say it was almost worse. I think the shots, the technique for the shots on most of them were much more difficult.
Yeah. Like,
heck, we had a rabbit at 73 yards, or stinking rabbit.
93.
Thing. I thought that was the deer.
Wow. Before.
The rabbit was 93.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Wow.
That's where for everyone who's looking to attack, that was the prime course's arrow-eating tree.
Yep.
Because it was a 93-yard rabbit downhill. And if you've ever seen a Reinhardt rabbit, it's about the size of a rabbit. And it was just, oh, man. And we had a crazy, you know, crazy side winds just blowing through that open area.
Yep.
I think that's where you might actually, like, broke off and started beating me. in our competition where I was like, oh man, it's over with. I think it might be over with.
I think you were ahead at that point, and that's where I started to catch up. If I remember correctly, I think you were two up. I hit the deer, yes. And then I got close to the rabbit, but didn't hit the rabbit. And I think I beat you on the next one, maybe, or something. We got close there.
Yeah, right. Cause you got into that funk. You missed, you had that. Well, we lost Ken. We'll get Ken back. that was when, we hit that. We had that bat. And you had a bad shot on that one. And you were just like, I could tell. I was like, oh, he's over it. He's not having any more fun.
I was having fun, but I was also getting frustrated because I was like, that bat especially, I couldn't figure it out. Like, I put my 30 pin on the bat, let it fly, and completely missed low. And I couldn't figure that out at all. And honestly, I think it was just mental something, you know, I still can't tell you why I missed that shot, but I think just mentally, which everyone knows is a big part of archery. I think I just kind of fatigued to a point where I was maybe twitching or doing something like that. But then I was able to get it back together, calm myself down. And I think that's something that I kind of bring from my soccer playing days of like, I'd mess up, I'd have to calm myself down, I'd think it through, and I'd go, okay, you know, I can do this. And I think when you kind of were like, hey, you know, just relax a little. And as soon as I did that, all of a sudden I was hitting every target, you know?
Yeah.
And for some reason you kept shooting inside of me by like an inch and getting a point.
Yeah.
But regardless, hitting the target, and I was happy with how it went, especially since I was shooting a borrowed bow, which we can get into in a little bit. That was just that course. I don't know, man. I would almost say the prime course was harder than the Sitka, but we were also tired from the Sitka. So
yeah,
that played a factor too.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's hard to judge between the two. I think where Sitka probably would be quote unquote more rugged, was that I feel like there was more exposed rock. There was more, but I mean, really most of it was crazy shot, but then you walked like a horse trail.
Yeah.
And then you'd climb up some crazy stuff, come back down horse trail.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think maybe Sitka looked more rugged, but in my mind, man, the prime course in terms of what my body went through was much worse.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I would agree with that. You know, I think I went in with this misconception that there would be easy courses and there would be hard courses. You know, like, oh, the Black Rifle is the easiest. It might be the easiest, but it's by no means easy. Like,
no,
there are still crazy shots, crazy terrain, shooting around trees, arrow eating trees. Yeah. And that's something I learned kind of the hard way on the prime course. Cause I walked down there and I was like, yeah, we'll do another course. You know, it'll be easier. Cause we just did the hardest course. I wouldn't say that at all. Now I'd be like, you know, no matter what course you do, you're in for a challenge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Black Rifle, isn't that supposed to be like, and again, it wasn't easy. Isn't that supposed to be the easiest of them?
I think so. It's either that one or maybe.
I think the loophole one.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, that, yeah, because that's what we were trying.
Yeah.
But James and Amber told us that was still kind of rough. So. Yeah.
It's still, I mean, I would say all of the courses of TAC are probably still harder than any local 3D shoot you've ever done.
Oh, guaranteed.
You know?
I have my local 3D shoot tomorrow, and I'm like thinking of ways to make it harder. Like, okay, how can I shoot through the trees here?
Yeah.
Can I drop back instead of shooting 35 yards? Can I shoot 85 yards on this target? Yeah.
Well, that's one thing. That's one thing that I experienced last year. I shot TAC Michigan and I shot the knock on course. And then we shot, oh, what was the second one? The RMEF elk course. And I shot those. And then when I came back home and went to like my archery club at home, we have 3D shoots like almost every weekend. It's ridiculous. But
man,
after those, I was like, this is boring.
Yeah.
Like what is this 46 yard garbage? Like, like I'm not here to warm up. Like, let me send it. And it's like, ooh, the long shot 63. Oh. And you're like, it's 63 on a giant elk. Like, what is this?
The course I'm shooting tomorrow, my max range is 50 yards.
Is it really?
Max.
Man.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, like,
how many times did you shoot under that attack? Once?
I think twice. I think once on each course I shot 30, like 6 yards.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It was so crazy.
Ken, what was your expectations going into it?
Not that. I was, I mean, I was ready. I was kind of ready for the walking. Like I wasn't really worried about the walking, but the, when we got to some of those, like on the Black Rifle, it had to be, I think it was target like 15 or so. Man, like I'm about done now. I know we had to take a break. Like it was rough. And then on that Sitka course, I wasn't really prepared for, I knew it was going to be the long shots because I kind of researched it a little bit, but I don't know. Some of them shots, like you said, some of them shots were kind of sketchy. I mean, I feel for the guys that had to go out and set up those targets too. Like, I feel for those guys.
Yeah.
Because some of those retrieving them was rough too. So, yeah, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting to have a lot of fun, and we did. So, like, I had a great time out there, dude.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I agree. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, Vince, did you have something you were going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, like, I don't know if we want to try to go through, like, chain of events or just kind of – because there was – I mean – Michigan last year, it was like, get up to the mountain, shoot your bow, get done, go party a little bit, you know, have a beer or something, then go back out on another course, which I don't recommend. Don't drink in between shooting. That's forbidden attack. But there were no hiccups on my first one. And this one, first, it was just doomed from the beginning.
I mean, let's just start with you, because I think that was the first thing that happened. And honestly, that almost ended the day right there.
So, that started the chain reaction there.
Well, I mean, for starters, I got my tack arrows in on Wednesday night, and I had to leave Friday right after work. So I had Wednesday and Thursday to attempt to sight or change my sight tape.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was jacking around on Wednesday with my sight and didn't get it done by the time I had to leave. So I had to take all my arrows from last year. And I started off with like not knowing where my 20 was. So like my first, I don't know how many, 12, like I feel like the first half of the first course, like I was missing almost every target because of that.
Yeah. Didn't you say it was end up being like 3 yards or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah, I kept shooting under everything, and I at first, like the first couple targets, I'm like, okay, so I haven't shot enough. I'm just not ready. Cause I mean, we started out hot. You don't start out with like, all right, 25, then the next one's 30, then the next one's 37. It's like 60 yards right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I had to shot past like 30 or 40 since last summer. So I'm like, okay, it's just me. Calm down, get in the groove. Well, then after like four targets, I keep shooting low and I'm like, what in the world? So then I kind of just started adding incrementally like 1 yard at a time until finally halfway through, I found the sweet spot. And then after that, I was on target. But yeah, we were doing that and we shot that crazy. I think it was on the Panther, wasn't it? Or maybe it was a mountain goat or something. And we were coming down that hill And me, just Mr. Invincible, I'm like, I can walk down this mud hill. I'll be fine. And I'm sure most of you have seen that it wasn't fine. I also realize, I don't know if it's me in my memory or if it's the video. I don't know which one is right, but I feel like the video makes it look a lot like more mellow than what it really was.
Oh yeah.
Like it looks like I fell, like I slid on my butt like 3 feet. But like the reality was like I slid like what? Somebody
12 foot probably. It was probably at least 12 foot because phone stopped. Like your phone failed and stopped.
I was gonna say like the video, your phone stops there and you can hear like still some commotion going.
Yeah.
What you don't see is Vince still sliding down the mountain.
Yeah, and like
oh man.
Yeah, you hear oh shit. And then all of a sudden, I sound like I'm way back here. I'm 10 feet down.
I really don't know how you didn't smash
I'm
your
crying,
bow.
Bro. I'm crying. Oh, my gosh, dude.
Dude, I don't know how you didn't smash your bow or your camera.
The grace of God.
That was insane.
I immediately, like, as soon as, you know, in that split second, it's going down. Like, you feel that little slip on your foot, and you know it's over. Like, I immediately, like, thought camera, which was on my left hip, so I rolled hard to my right shoulder and then, like, shot my hand up and over to try to keep the bow up. So, like, my shoulder is just, like, dug, like, sideways. And like, I'm like, when am I going to stop? I just kept going.
Bro, that was hilarious. Though. I ain't gonna lie.
That was... Dude, it was like, me in the moment, like I knew the whole time, like after like the first second, I knew I just like, it's just a matter of hold on and don't get cut by a rock. But I don't know like what you guys thought, like, cause you're like, oh God, oh no.
Hey. I instantly went back to that dodgeball part where it was like, dip, dive, go, dive. All I'm seeing is that camera going. I was like, no.
Yeah.
I couldn't react. Man. I couldn't react fast enough to like grab you or anything. As soon as you went, I looked down. I would have went right behind you had you not done that. Because I looked down and I'm like, oh, that's just straight mud.
Hey, Vince was cruising though. He was like walking light.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And I can't say that it really. I don't think it taught me any lessons the rest of the way either.
Oh no, of course not.
No,
it was just like, oh, another mud pit. Let's go for it. But yeah, that was the first one, and then I think I had the second one too.
Yeah, because you thought you broke your knee. It was right after when you fell.
Yeah, it was. It was either the next target or the following. Mm-hmm. I was carrying my release in pocket, and I must have had mud in there, and my release got jammed up. And here's tip number one, guys: take more than one release because they do break, and if they break, your day's over. So I'm like, well, shoot, I don't know what to do. And Ken's like, you want to use mine? And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And he's like, do you want my thumb button or my wrist release? And I was like, if you got a thumb button, let's do that one. So I asked Ken, I'm like, how hot is your thumb button? Because mine, like, if you just, it's going to go off. Mine's super hot to where it's not even really a thumb button. It's almost a tension release because I just pull back on it and it naturally goes off. And so I kind of click Ken's, like, I don't even know. I didn't, because I couldn't figure out how to get it to stick on my D-loop. And I'm like, Ken, how do you get this thing on? He's like, oh, just, you know, use your finger. So I get it on there, and I'm kind of pressing against it. And I'm like, okay, this is a lot more stiff than mine. But I'm thinking about how mine came from the factory when it was set up real stiff. And so I pull back, I'm drawn back, ready to go. And like my shot process, you know, I stance grip, shoulder, anchor, peep, and then execute, execute, execute. And like no matter where my pin's floating on that third execute, I let it go, I let it rip. that's usually when my back tension hits the point where mine just goes off. Well, I don't know if I forgot that I wasn't shooting mine or if I just thought that it was going to like go off, but my hand naturally like let up like I would with my own release. That bow went off. I saw my arrow like somehow like fletching, like immediately tumbled like right out of the rest and like flipped like crazy into some trees. But
and then I get in the back of the
Yeah, the release flies off the bow at like 170 miles an hour straight against head. I'm standing there like that immediately like, disbelief of like how did this just happen to me? And then I remember like, my peripheral vision. I see Ken like ducking.
Look, I look back. Vince is standing there like
just looking at. Yeah, I feel like after the thing went off, even like I was still just sitting there, like my release hand's still up, and I'm just looking around like, what in the hell just happened? Ken's luckily like not bleeding or like unconscious. It was, yeah.
We all froze. Like, besides Ken, Ken was like running. Everyone else was like, what just happened?
Bro, I thought the bow done broke or something. I'm like, what in the world? Like, I'm getting hit.
For all of you who want to see a video of this, my wife got it on video. I do have it, and we'll get it out on a reel or something. It's,
oh, man.
It's probably going to make my TAC video.
I want it slow-mo, bro. Hey, when Vince looks like this, when he turns.
I have the turn.
Oh, man. Oh. So then after Ken almost dies, I almost die. Everyone around me almost dies. He's like, Ken's like, hey, you want my wrist strap? So we get this wrist strap that's like, it makes my draw length like 4 inches too long. And then I sail one right over. Like, I didn't even come close to the target.
Oh, but, man.
Yeah, luckily I gave it a little shake and a little like old fashioned Nintendo cartridge. I was back in action after that.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad we can laugh about that because that could have been so bad.
Yeah.
I'm having vivid images of that right now. The whole experience.
There were honestly, and for everyone who's listening to this right now, and you're like, you guys are freaking idiots. Here's the thing. Understand, like, we're not irresponsible shooters. Like, we weren't out there just you know, being idiots. Like, this is the type of crap that we talk about. Like, and it sounds dumb and not to get serious, but like, make sure you have some first aid. Make sure you're paying attention. Make sure you're not trying, you know, like, this stuff all happened with us being serious.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it wasn't because I was screwing around with the bow or anything. It was like, and Austin will share his thing later too. Like, this is just stuff that happens out there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I mean, anytime you're with a weapon, there's always that risk of something happening, gun, bow, whatever it may be, crossbow. And this entire weekend, I think, just goes to show like how important safety is, because had you, you know, had something else happened, had I been standing like just in front of, like in front off to the side recording you, your arrow would have hit me. Yeah. So just those common sense things of like, you know, we're going to stand well behind you when you're shooting and things. I mean, that kept us safe. And like the release coming back, it just flung off the string. And, you know, usually that's not coming off fast enough to hurt anyone after it, you know, slams shut or slams back into, I guess, the resting position. But still, like, you have to be aware, even if you're not the one shooting the bow. And is there anything else that happened in between that and mine happening?
I think we played it. I think we were all like, at that point, like when I fell the first time, I think it was like, whatever, and move on from it. After that one, I think everybody really like woke up and was like, okay, we're still going to have a lot of fun, but like, thank God Ken was standing back where he was. Thank God you or your wife weren't trying to get a great angle of a shot. And because I've seen that where people, you know, they're seemingly safe. They're off to the side enough, but they're still in front.
Yep.
That arrow, the way that it came off the bow, you know, like you said, if you were in front of me and safely off to the side, you would have got hit.
Yeah.
And Ken, I don't know, you'll have to look at the video. I seem to remember he was at least 10 feet behind me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we was a good ways back.
Yeah,
you. And that thing came off at 130 miles an hour.
Boom.
Oh, my. It got real, real quick. It was like, oh, we're in danger. I felt like, you remember Fire Marshal Bill?
Oh, no.
I felt like it was an episode.
Oh, my God.
That was hilarious, though, dude. I'm glad it had, though, because like y'all said, like, it wakes you up, and it's like, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be looking at this stuff.
Yeah. Think about the physics of this. Ken's behind me and off to the side. How, when the release is traveling on the string this direction, how did it come back there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You would think it would continue forward or slam into the bow riser. No, it shot backwards.
Like a 45 degree.
Yeah.
Like a tomahawk.
I tell you what, Ken knew where the hell he was that day.
Right?
He didn't need Wi-Fi to know that.
Hey, Tennessee ain't for me. No, I'm playing.
Yeah, we're going, I love to PA. Tennessee. We're going to PA next year.
I want to do that. I'm down to do that. I looked how far I was from Montana, and I was like, yeah, we might need to rethink this.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, for you, what is that, like a 30-hour drive?
Yeah, it was like a day and 8 hours, I think, something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Becca's not getting on the plane. That's not happening.
Yeah, but hey, man, 6 months ago, Becca wasn't shooting an arrow either.
Hey,
you're right.
You got a point there.
You just got to work on it.
Yeah. But,
so,
go ahead.
Yeah, so moving on from me almost killing everybody, Austin, let everyone know what happened to you, because this is something that is a one in a million thing that you hear about, stuff like this happening when people dry fire, when they're being irresponsible, whatever it may be, they drop their bow, whatever it is. I have never seen or heard this happen. And I think in the end, it's worked out well for you. Everyone was safe, but explain that one.
Yeah. So, you know, I keep my bow. I keep, sorry, Ken is frozen with just this smirk on his face right now. And it is the funniest thing. But anyways, back to my story. So I keep my bow in pretty good shape. You know, I check it regularly for cracks and things like that. You know, do the things. I guess I don't do it as much as I should, but, you know, I do those things to make sure I'm safe, because archery to me, unlike a gun, is a little bit more dangerous because you have a lot more moving parts and things like that. Well, I got on to, I think it was the 17th shot, and I drew back, was aiming my bow, and was seconds from releasing my arrow, and all of a sudden, there's just this loud snap, and, you know, I was full draw, heard the snap, and it kind of, there was like a release in my bow almost that made me bring my bow back down and not shoot my arrow. And I started inspecting my bow, you know, looking at my arrow, going, was it my arrow that just like popped or something, or what happened? And turns out one of my lower limbs just completely like shattered and splintered on me. And pretty much I was done shooting I was done shooting for the rest of the time. Luckily, Ken let me use his bow. But yeah, it was just kind of one of those things that, you know, like you were saying, I've never seen before with, like, you know, there's the dry fires, there's dropping your bow. I hadn't dropped my bow. I hadn't fell on it at tack, which honestly is a very real possibility for a lot of people out there. You know, I hadn't done anything crazy. There were no chips or anything in it. You know, we looked it over after I shot it, and, you know, we couldn't tell really that there was anything that caused this. And now, you know, I do know what probably caused this, which I can go into in a sec, but it was just kind of one of those freak things where, you know, drew back and snap, there goes a limb, and my tack was almost done for. You know, I was able to finish the course. We were on the Sitka course with Ken's bow, and I did okay with that. His draw length was, I think, a half inch shorter than mine, and it just, it was a bit funky shooting from then on. You know, I kept going low or missing or things like that. But thankful that he was there and allowed me to use his bow to at least finish the course. And then, you know, the craziest thing about this whole experience was just like even from your stuff that happened is like, God was definitely with us, you know, like keep protecting us. I want to just say that because, you know, that the limb could have flung up, hit me, and all of a sudden, you know, we're getting an airlift out of there because I have a limb, you know, in my stomach. Right. But luckily, you know, none of that happened. The bow stayed intact. And we, you know, we went up, got some food and took it over to the Bowtech tent, which the crazy thing to me is like, I shoot my bow almost daily, have all these 3D events, and then it just so happens to snap on me while I'm shooting out at TAC in Tennessee with Bowtech there at the event. So took it up there and talked to a guy who you had found out from the Matthews guys that he was the VP of sales. And they were like, yeah, just go talk to him. So I took my bow up there, talked to him, and he pretty much said, we're going to take care of you. And I said, okay. So he started making phone calls and stuff, trying to get new limbs for my bow, like just locally. And couldn't find any. So then he goes, we have a backup plan. And he calls over one of the, I guess, employees that was there, you know, pro staff or whatever he was at the Bowtech tent and just goes, hey, what's your draw length? And is your bow set up? And the guy's like, yes and yeah, you know, tells him the draw length. And it ended up being, I think it was 29 inches as well, which is my draw length. And crazy thing is, you know, he pretty much gave me his bow, his arrows, and said, shoot it here, see how it feels, shoot at the practice range, and then if, you know, it feels good and you want to take it out on the course. And, you know, that was crazy to me. Just, you know, left my bow with them and took a brand new Carbon 1 out on the course for you and I to go shoot. And, you know, I just can't say enough about how Bowtech has handled this whole situation because it – I can kind of, we can circle back to this about after TAC if we want, or I can share it now. But it was just crazy how well they took care of me. And I'm shooting tomorrow in my local 3D league. And, you know, my bow broke last Saturday. So they've really went above and beyond. And really, you know, I was looking at Hoyt or Matthews for my next bow. And now I'm rocking a new Bowtech because of how they treated me and handled this. Just looking at they, you know, looked at my bow, my Prodigy that snapped, and they were like, we're going to fix this. And I was, you know, I'm the second owner, and this bow is a decently old bow. I mean, it's, I think, a 2017, 2018 model. So they didn't really have to do anything. There wasn't very, I mean, I don't think there was warranty or anything on it, so... But crazy just experience for that to happen. And, you know, like you said, I wasn't goofing around. I didn't draw my bow back super hard or anything. It just a freak accident that happened. And, you know, thankfully we're all safe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if you think about, like, first of all, just it had to happen on, like, the most beautiful shot of the course.
Don't
like,
even
you
remind me.
Couldn't even enjoy it. Like we pull up, you know, everything's been crazy mountainous terrain and rocks and mud and dirt. And we pull up to this one and it is just, it's a, I don't remember how many yards it was, 60, 50. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Some mid-range shot at a ram downhill, and the backdrop is this beautiful waterfall. And I took some pictures of it. Austin got some pictures of it. I'm sure you guys have seen it from somebody. And it was just a beautiful shot. And the, yeah, like you were saying, like the weird thing was, like, there was no indication that anything was wrong leading up to that. You pull up, you draw your bow. And I mean, I feel like you were even holding it for 2 or 3 seconds. You know, that just that, you know, you draw back, you're just settling into your anchor. It takes a second or two. Like, can you imagine had you let that release go? Or, I mean, how many times does it happen? It's happened to me before. And I've seen many people, if you're shooting a tension or a thumb release, like if you hit that little bump where you're anchored and it kind of just, that can be enough. Like, that'll set my release off. Had your release, like, somehow, God, somehow you were able to just let the bow down naturally and keep the limbs from really shocking closed or open, whatever you want to call it. I can't imagine what would have happened if you would have, that release would have came off and that string flew. Like, that could have been so, so bad.
It's kind of a scary thought, because I know my right limb would have snapped, and I don't know, I bet you my left one would have came too, just because I'm drawing 70 pounds, and now that 70 pounds is transferred onto one limb. You know, I bet they both snap, and they're going to come right back at me. You know, I don't, and not just me, all of you guys too. You know, they could miss me and hit my wife who's standing right beside me just off my back shoulder recording.
Yeah.
And it was just such a freak accident. I mean, or like, there was nothing we could do to control it. That's the scary thing about it, is it just happened, and that it's kind of scary. And we're very fortunate that nothing worse happened, because it, like you said, I mean, nothing seemed to be wrong. You know, I didn't hear any cracks. Excuse me. Didn't hear any cracks in earlier shots or anything like that. Just all of a sudden drew back, and there was just this loud pop. And it was crazy to me.
Yeah, it sounded like, I thought, so it kind of had the sound, and when I immediately looked at you before anybody knew what was going on, it sounded like your rest broke, and your rest, like, snapped down. Because I don't remember if your arrow, I think your arrow might have come out of the rest or something happened. Yeah. And like immediately I was looking on the ground because I thought your, like, the fork on your rest came off or broke or something like that. And it's we're very fortunate that that happened the way it did. And also to being prepared, you know, we were able to, you know, we all had tools because there was still, you know, an immense amount of tension on that string with that limb. So we all had tools ready. We were able to kind of let down on those limbs a little bit immediately to kind of let some of that tension off. So it wasn't, you know, 70 pounds anymore.
Yep.
I kind of look at bows until this moment. I've kind of always looked at bows like it is a weapon, but it's not like a gun. It's not as dangerous as a gun.
Yeah.
After this, it's like a bow, like, cause you see guys toss their bows around, like, you got guys that, you know, they put their bows down rough. They put them in the back of their truck rough. They go on a stalk on a deer or an animal, and they're just kind of throwing it in front of them and crawling. And I wouldn't do that with a firearm.
Yeah.
And now it makes me really think, like, a bow, you need to treat a bow with as much respect as you would any other seriously dangerous weapon, because those limbs are carbon. And if there's the smallest little bit of a chip or anything, like, those are going to go, and that can end very, very badly.
Yeah. So I found out that I don't think my limbs were actually carbon. Or they may have been, I forgot what the,
fiberglass?
They might've been fiberglass. I think that's what he said. I was just focused on on what he was saying about, like, how to get a new bow. So he kind of was going through all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But he talked about how it was the local rep here in Missouri. He talked about how a while back, Bowtech went through this phase of pumping out bows and getting decent quality bows out, but not the best quality, kind of cutting some costs. So what happened with my limbs is these limbs were made in an area where the air quality wasn't the best, and they were glued together and then like laminated, I think is what he said.
Yeah.
So what do you get when you're gluing stuff together and the air quality is not the best and there's dirt or things getting in between there? You get some imperfections. And he said that's what happened with my limb is like, you know, it got some of that in there and slowly over time, with just all the pressure on it, it finally just snapped. So that it instantly made me go, no, I don't want new limbs because what about these other three? When are they going to go? I want a new bow. Which cost me, but it didn't cost me as much. They gave me a crazy good deal. I was blown away by how fast I had my new bow by Wednesday. My bow broke Saturday. By Wednesday, I had a new bow all set up, ready to go.
That's insane.
They worked so fast to get me a new bow that I honestly am a Bowtech fan for life now after the way they handled that. And that's not to say Matthews, Hoyt, you know, any other bow company wouldn't treat you that way, because I'm sure they would. But Bowtech just, I feel, went above and beyond. And, you know, now I'm rocking a new Carbon 1 from them, all set up, and I got it for, I won't say the price just because, but it was a pretty pretty good deal that really too good to pass up. And, you know, now what the guy told me about their bows now is they've really invested in the quality of their bows. And that's been their focus for the last like 5 years is, you know, getting rid of the older models that were made weaker, I guess. And really putting out high quality bows. And I think we're seeing that. I mean, I think if you look at Bowtech, they kind of took a dip and you had Hoyt and Matthews, which are probably still the front runners. You had those brands kind of come to the top, but now you have more and more people using Bowtech. And after the way they handled that, I highly recommend them. I'm not saying they're the only bow out there, because by no means are they the only bow out there, but blown away by how they handled the situation. I think they knew, you know, they knew how dangerous it was, that I was drawn back and this happened. So huge shout out to them. Huge thank you to them. And,
for real.
And I don't doubt that, like, if that were to happen with like a Matthews or a Hoyt or an Elite or a Prime, any of those top ones, I'm sure that they would say, hey, man, especially because you had video of it. So there was like, you know, the initial thought when a limb breaks is you dry fired it.
Yep.
And, you know, you had a video showing what happened. And I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but what I thought was going to happen was you're going to go talk to this guy. He's going to say, oh, crap, man, that's crazy. I'm sorry to hear that. We're going to make it right. We're going to get a hold of new limbs. When you get home, we'll send them to you. You can go have them put on, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Never in a million years would I think they'd be like, hey, grab that dude's bow over there. Let's set it up because this guy still needs to shoot now.
Yep.
And it's not like he gave you a crappy bow. Like, he gave you a Carbon 1.
Yep.
And his full quiver of arrows for that bow, which I think they were ripped TKOs like mine, and they were nice arrows. They weren't cheap arrows. And they, first and foremost, their focus was, let's let you continue to have fun here and now. You go play while we figure this thing out. And, you know, I just feel like most companies would be like, hey, yeah, here's our number. Obviously we can't do anything today, but we're going to take care of you. And I don't think, I don't want to say this because I don't know this, but I find it hard to believe, like, most companies are just like, here's a new bow, go shoot, continue to shoot.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, especially an employee's bow. Like, that guy, that's his personal bow. And what was crazy to me is I took it out on the course. The course we got through real slow, so we didn't get back up to the village, that whatever they call it, mm-hmm. where all the shops are. All the shops were closed up. And I get back, and I'm holding this bow, and it their tent is all zipped up. And I'm like, what do I do? And the bow spider guy literally helped me, and he went into their tent, got my bow, got my arrows, put that bow back. And I just texted the guy and said, hey, you know, I switched the bows, the carbon ones in your tent, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, awesome, you know, thank you. I'll have my guy get in touch with you Monday, all this stuff. And I was just like, they like didn't take my name, number. They took my bow, my broken bow. I could have easily just said, all right, see ya. And left with this guy's bow, which I was just blown away by like their trust. And also just like their willingness to do that and make it right. Just like, hey, you know, you only have one day to shoot. Here you go. Go shoot. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. And I was, I mean, they didn't, and it was a, their top of the line bow. Like their, their biggest bow that they're promoting right now.
Yeah.
Blown away. I mean, great customer service. You know, and I'm sure other brands would have that same customer service. But like you're saying, I don't know if they, you know, I don't know if Matthews would hand me a phase four and go have fun.
Right.
You know, they might. Not saying they wouldn't, because they're still a great company. But I was just like, I kind of was dumbfounded a little, just like as I held this bow in my hand and I'm going, I'm taking this like over $2,000 setup out on the course that I could. Like that shot at the turkey that we shot at, we're climbing down mount like a rock ledge, and I'm going, if I fell on this bow and broke it,
what would they do?
Like seriously, blew me away.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, it's the guy. Yeah, go take it and go shoot. And it's like, do you guys you guys remember where it told Archer Challenge? Like this isn't
right.
This isn't your local like grass dirt path course. Like. And, you know, they didn't care. They wanted to make sure that you were able to continue to shoot and have fun while you were there. And, yeah, man, I hats off to that, to Bowtech, because that was awesome. It definitely saved our day. We were, what time did we get back in? We started at 7 and we got back in at like 12
or something one. Like that. Yeah. 12 or one. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had actually called my wife and I said, hey, Austin's bow broke. Ken and his wife have already shot the day before. They're kind of over it. And I was like, I'm going to head home at like 2. And then I find you and you're holding this carbon one. And I'm like, what's going on? It's like, let's go shoot. I'm like, all right, let's do it. You know, we're back on a course by 2:00.
The turnaround too, like just, you know, we come in, boom, I'm back out on a course. I'm still blown away and just from start to finish, from me walking out of Midwest Archery with a brand new carbon one, I'm kind of speechless, honestly, to be honest. Like they went so far above and beyond. And I honestly, you know, I was kind of after the Sitka course, I was like, you know, I could be done, but I'm only here a day. I'd love to shoot more. Even if it was just at the practice range, I was like, I really wanted to, you know, get more than just 25 shots out of this.
Yeah.
You know, driving 16 hours total for it.
Yeah.
And they made it happen, honestly.
Yeah.
They saved my day because I'm sure you guys could tell after watching the videos back, I was ticked. Like,
oh, yeah.
After that 17th. After my bow snapped, I was walking around kind of depressed and really just mad at the world because I'm like, I drove all the way here for this to happen to me, really? Yeah. And, you know, I was trying not to show it, but I was also like, what am I going to do for elk? What am I going to do for this? You know, am I going to be able to afford a new bow?
Right.
Where will I find a new bow? Kind of all of those questions. And, you know, Bowtech completely flipped my mood and helped.
Well, guys, that wraps up part one of two of our kind of our tack recap. This part, we kind of did some review. In the next part, which will be out tomorrow on the Antler and Feather Co. podcast, we go over more of what you need to bring, what you don't need to bring, what we brought but didn't need, what we wish we would have had, and then some other just very good information for any of these bigger shoots like TAC, like Mountain Archery Fest, the R100, any of those that might be a little bit harder than kind of your just local league shoot. Definitely want to listen to that tomorrow on the Antler and Feather Co. podcast, because it is packed full of really good information heading into kind of your 3D season in between these kind of in between turkey and deer, elk, all of those. So if you like this podcast, please leave us a rating or review wherever you're getting it. That helps it get out to more people and share the information that we're picking up from some of our awesome guests. Also wanted to give a shout out to Beatty Custom Calls, the presenting sponsor of the Just One Outdoors podcast, making some great calls, hoping to talk him into making me a custom elk call, but we'll see if that happens. Right now he's just doing turkey calls, but they are, in my opinion, the best out there. And that has been told to me by many people. We also have partnered with One Stringer. They provide arrow wrap, and a bunch of other things. They have like cornhole, like stickers and stuff that you can put on cornhole boards. Just about anything that you're needing. That they have rod wraps. That's a tongue twister, but they have just about everything. I've been using them for a couple of years for all of my arrow wraps. I highly recommend the reflective ones. They are great for deer season after you shoot, finding that arrow, hit or miss. Using that light, especially when it's dark out, makes it easy to find. Also wanted to shout out Fit to Hunt. Been partnered with them for a while now, got me prepared for turkey season. And there were multiple times during turkey season that I was doing things, making, you know, crawling, trying to get up to a bird, and going, you know, I don't know if I would be able to do this as effectively had it not been for the workouts that I've been doing. So really excited to partner with them again for my elk trip. We're gearing in for that, I guess is how you'd say it. But that's coming up in 4 months. Really looking forward to it. Going to hit the gym starting today, real hard every day, getting ready for elk. I'm feeling pretty good, feeling pretty confident about it, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. So with that, guys, we'll wrap up today's episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, please leave us a rating or review. And also, if you go on our Instagram or to our link tree, however you find that on any of our socials, you can find a link to be a guest to the on the podcast. We would love to connect with you guys, talk with you guys. We've made some great connections, like especially this one. This was my first time meeting Vince and Ken in person, and it felt like, you know, I was meeting friends that I'd known forever, and we had a great time. So we love connecting with our listeners, connecting with our followers. So please, you know, go on, fill out the little form, tell us a little about yourself, and we would love to get you on to talk hunting, talk fishing. You know, we don't come into these with too many scripts or anything. We kind of have a general idea of what we want to talk about, but we like to keep it free flowing and, you know, just talk to people about hunting and fishing and what they love about the outdoors. So with that, we'll wrap up today's episode. Thank you guys for listening and have a good week.